Okay. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I have eyes that see.
I have eyes that see.
I have ears that hear.
I have ears that hear.
And my heart does perceive.
And my heart does perceive.
I can hear.
I can hear.
I can see.
I can see.
And perceive.
And perceive.
This message.
This message.
Is going to impact me.
It's going to impact me.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. We're going back to the book of Acts because this afternoon I was pressed to really take a good look at Acts chapter 4. That's what I heard in my heart. And in Acts chapter 4, Paul is not in the picture here, but Peter is. And there was a lot of commotion in this particular chapter. And I'd like to kind of take a peek at a couple of places. Verse 5 says, "The next day the rulers and elders and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, 'By what power or what name did you do this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit." If that's not underlined in your Bible, I would suggest that you underline it. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled, not half empty. "Said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone.'" Verse 12 should also have a circle. "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, you mean they didn't have a degree. They didn't have a diploma. They were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. These men had been with Jesus. In other words, the fruit that you're looking at from these men being with Jesus was that a man that had been crippled, by the way, he's like 40 years old, was set free. Now, you say, why are you bringing that up? Well, it wasn't my idea. But the bottom line is, I think sometimes, which I kind of shared with you last week, about education versus revelation can get us into trouble. And today's world system runs on making sure you have a paper that says you accomplished such and such. I have a few of those papers. But the bottom line is, what I had to learn by revelation came by the Spirit of God. It did not come out of a schooling system. In fact, he kept me out of that. And I happened to share that with somebody the other day, that I was supposed to go to a school of evangelism when I sold everything. And my wife and I spent about an hour and a half in the headmaster's office, and I shared my testimony, and he laughed, and he says, well, I can take your money and you can be a part of the school, or you can go to a place where they'll really be able to teach you something, because we can't teach you anything. You've already lived it by revelation. Now, they don't give you a degree for revelation, okay? So I didn't get a paper. But his suggestion was to go to a higher place to be educated there. I thought that was a pretty good idea. That was my second thought. My first thought was where I went with my wife. So we drove home, 900 miles. And we both questioned, you know, well, Lord, you want me somewhere, but it certainly wasn't that place, because they were honest. We can take your money, but we can't teach you anything. Well, it's okay. Kind of didn't really feel rejected, because you've got that ace in the hole, you know. You're going to go to this other place, which is about 1,400 miles away. And we were prepared for that. So, sent out an application. They sent back, actually I called and they sent out an application. And on the application it says you have to make a deposit and it will not be returned. So I did that. They sent me back a letter saying that, with the check, by the way, that I would be their first out of the country person, because I have never given up my Canadian citizenship. And so I had to get all kinds of paperwork from the Canadian government, which I did. Sent it all back with the check, waiting for my approval. Well, I think roughly 2.5 weeks go by, and in the mail comes the check with the application. And a very nice, sorry, we can't help you. Well, that really crashed my bubble, because now I was spending time with Jesus, by the way, and the revelations kept coming, but they weren't giving me a degree. See? And I was looking for a piece of paper that you could put on the wall, you know, and say, this is who I am. Because that's how the world runs. So my next hunt came Labor Day weekend. That's going to happen. So it's an anniversary for me. I'm now going to go to the Roman Catholic bishop who's born again and spirit-filled. So you got to keep that in mind. And I've met him several times. And he prays in tongues. And he loves the Lord. My brother was with me. He sits in the car and is interceding for me so that I'm not alone. After an hour with him, he gives me all these recommendations. You should do this, you should do this, you should do that. And I'm not going to go into all the details. So I tried that the following day. The day after Labor Day, I'm off to a campus. I'm walking around praying in the Lord's name, saying, God, what am I doing here? And I'm not getting any answers. I'm getting all kinds of paperwork, information, blah, blah, blah. And I have my accreditation, et cetera, et cetera. I've got my GEDs. Everything is legal. Everything is passed. That was done maybe a month or so before. Long story short, the very next morning, very early, I'm downstairs and, you know, those big yellow pads? There's one next to my fireplace downstairs with my Bible. The Lord immediately, I'd never opened the Bible, said, take your pad and your pencil. And he began to write with my hand. Do you ever have them take over your hand? And I'm writing, and I'm writing, and I'm writing. And I'm not taking time to read it because it's not me writing. But the simple word was this. If I wanted Freud to teach you, I would have sent you 20 years ago. Because you've got to remember, I'm 37 at this time. But you're never to go back into that place because it's not for me, for you. Whoa. So guess what I chose? To spend more time with?
Jesus.
Yeah. So for the next 3 years, I sat and did and worked and did whatever he told me to do, and I listened to his spirit and got closer and closer to him. Yes, there was an interview with Gino that came about a month and a half later because of a word of knowledge that was given. But it was by revelation. It wasn't by education. Gino stood me up for my first appointment. I went all the way to the place where we would meet, and he never showed. I think that was a test. So I called him, and my wife is saying, Kim, you're wasting your time. This is another closed door. Boy, I'll tell you. She had the word of knowledge straight out of hell. Wives can do that, and so can husbands.
Amen.
Got it? And I'm not picking on my wife now. She was just tired of the waiting period, and she was frustrated, and all that frustration came out. It was a nice big shot of garbage. I survived, and I did finally get a couple of nudges, and I called him back, and he apologized. I'm so sorry. We met the following week at the same place at the same time, and this time he showed up, and the rest is history. That was a 20-year engagement. Was it fun? It was educational. It was an education that I never asked for. But it was one that made me and forced me to spend more time with Jesus.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. And to pray and more to be trained. And I went back to the very first place where the Lord had sent me. And I asked one of the counselors if she would help me. And she talked to her boss, and it was a beautiful black lady that I loved very dearly. We got along beautifully. She gave me all the material that I needed. And within 3 years, we started the Prayer and Counseling Center in February 1985. Because I spent time with and waited for the revelation. And I can remember sitting in Gino's office after I went to the conference, and I said, I know I'm working here. He says, yeah, I know. And he's sneaky. You know, he would love to play a trick on anybody. And he's sitting behind his desk, and I'm sitting next to him on the sideline. And he says, well, I think if you, I already know where you're going to have your office and stuff. And I said, oh, that'll be cool. He said, we'll start about May. And I said, no, we're starting in February. And that just bubbled right out of my mouth. He says, Kim, we can't. He says, maybe we can do April. And I said, no, we're doing February. He says, what do you mean? I says, because I know. We're supposed to start in February. I said, at least to get the rooms ready, et cetera, et cetera. He said, well, okay. And he slides his drawer open. Okay. He had already gotten the telephone number for the Prayer and Counseling Center. And he gives me the paper. And I have never told him about me and number 7. And the phone number was 781-7777. By revelation. Things can happen. And when it was built by the Lord, it lasted 20 years. When it was built by the Lord, hear me, when it was built by the Lord, it was a success. Men and women were set free. People were born again. People who had never walked were able to walk again. People who got delivered were able to get delivered. And the rest is history. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Saved from what? How about hell first? How about destruction? How about sickness and disease? How about a crash program and getting free from all the torment that you live with? And when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and they conferred together, a private powwow. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows that they have done an astounding, outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again after the powwow and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight, in God's sight, in God's sight." Get a clue. Men are going to try to drive you down. Anybody that picks on a man that is on a journey with God, you are going to have opposition. Any woman who tries to obey the Lord, she's going to have opposition. Why? Do you ever ask why? Why? Why do we need opposition? You'll never develop your spiritual muscles without it.
I think it develops character also.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And if you don't have character, you're not going to even show up. Okay? So you see, there was a purpose in my test. There was a purpose in Peter's test. He said, "Judge for yourselves." He's talking to the hierarchy who have all the degrees. Got it? "Whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God." Woo-hoo! What a choice. When you obey your brain and your educated system, what are you going to get for results? You're going to get death. If you obey the revelation that Jesus gives you, what are you going to get?
Life.
Life and light. Amen?
Amen.
And that is, you know, I'm not against getting a degree. I'm not against that. What I am saying is when God says no more, you're going to be operating in revelation. Okay? And if you've got a degree, praise God. If you've got 3-4 more, go ahead. But I can tell you this, there'll be a day you'll have to stand against your adversaries with all their education and say, "We're going to listen to God rather than to you."
Amen.
Peter had the guts to stand his ground. Did I have the courage? In some cases, yes. In some cases, I buckled under and I fell apart. And when I did, depression would set in. Did I enjoy the trip? No. Would I do it again? Yes. to learn and to gain the wisdom that I needed to do whatever he's planned for me? Yes. The cost is worth it. Now close your eyes.
Yeah.
Put your right hand over your heart. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I want to spend time.
I want to spend time.
With my Savior.
With my Savior.
And he'll reveal.
And he'll reveal.
What I need.
What I need.
Whatever age I am.
Whatever age I am.
He knows the details.
He knows the details.
And when I spend time with Jesus.
There will be signs and wonders and miracles.
And they'll be coming. Right through my hands. Or the words from my mouth. They will change the people around me. And the glory will go to the Lord.
No other.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Paul, after his encounter with Jesus.
Yes.
After, he didn't go right to Jerusalem. For 3 years, he spent time with the Lord.
Yes.
He had to do that too. And then he came to Jerusalem and found out all that they were doing, and they finally accepted him. But he had to do that. He had to unlearn. Because he had so much knowledge already.
Yeah. And I had the same thing. I had to unlearn a lot of stuff that I thought was right. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because you can think you're right. But the fruits of your thinking are going to be your own peace level. If you're constantly a pile of nerves, tell me who you're serving. Maybe you better check in and see how much self is still working.
When I came to the Lord, there was church that wanted me to go with them.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, no, I had to spend time alone too.
With him.
Just with him and his word.
Everybody. Him and his word, yes.
That was all by myself. Yeah.
Same here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think you got the message. Amen. And amen.